Let us turn again to the passage of God's word that we have read together in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21. Let us consider now verse 9. Verse 9 in Matthew 21. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Well, the time of Jesus in this world was drawing to a close. He had come into this world to die in the place of sinners. He had come into this world to do wonderful things. And he went about doing good. Doing good to the bodies of sinners on a large scale. And doing good to some sinners as to their souls. And here he is coming into Jerusalem to carry out the work of redemption, giving himself a ransom for many. He was to suffer, he was to die, yes, and he was to rise again. And here he is to come as the great King of the Jews, the one who was foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. He was the Son of David, the one who was to sit upon his throne and rule the people of God. He was the Messiah, whom this nation were expecting, not in a godly way generally, somewhere, some few were. But the idea catches the attention of a great number of the people generally. And a fulfilled prophecy, whether consciously or not, in bringing him into Jerusalem with acclamation. They spread their garments on the road that Jesus was to pass over. They call him the Son of David. They say Hosanna from Psalm 118. Save now, I beseech thee. The word Hosanna means save now. And they praise God. All this is praising God. Whether it was from the heart or not is another matter. Very likely there were some few who could say these things from the heart. There were others who were just caught up with the occasion, caught up in what others were saying. Though they were good words, were they in their hearts? Were they exercising their heart? And that should be a question for us, when we're here under the word of God, and some may be receiving the word, they may be feeding on it, they may be giving praise to God, there may be worship arising to heaven. Yes, and God is well pleased with whatever little degree of worship there might be. He receives the worship. He receives it for the sake of Christ. But there's others. And they have never looked to Christ. They do not enter into the spirit of the word, the spirit of what is being said. Where are we? But there are just two things I would like particularly to pick out of the text this evening. And the first is the son of David, what they were thinking of. And we will notice that it was common at this time in the history of the cause of God in this world to understand the Old Testament teaching to indicate the Son of God as the Messiah, to indicate the Messiah as the Son of God. And the other thing is the use of the word. There's one word here, though in translating it into English, we would use two words, Hosanna, save now. We will try to focus particularly on these two words from this verse, describing part of this particular incident. When, if you were there and watching so many people caught up in accompanying Christ into Jerusalem, you would think that the people were on a wave, being carried on a wave of worship of the Messiah. They were worshipping the Messiah, it would seem. And it would seem that they were sincere, though from what followed, that must be very much questioned. But you see, it seemed so wonderful. So many speaking in this way and taken up with the one that was riding into Jerusalem upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Yes. And sometimes there's words in the book of Judges and a song that speak of the king on an ass, and you have it again in Zechariah. Well, seems so promised. But just a few days later, you would surely question if it was as sincere as it appeared to be. Let us be careful. We're not to question unnecessarily what we see in ourselves or others. We might well suspend judgment, and we might well be forced to say afterwards, it wasn't as promising as it seemed. And if that happens to us, let us not in despair. Let us not go to the other extreme of negativeness. But let us pray. Let us pray for ourselves. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm still a sinner. Perhaps I'm still an unsaved sinner. But God, be merciful to me as an unsaved sinner and bring me into the kingdom. You see, there's every reason to heed the call of the gospel. Come and follow me, as we had that in this morning. We had it in the context. Come and follow me. Yes. Well, these two things here this evening, the Son of David and Hosanna, and trying to remember the context in which these words appear, to consider them, to consider their teaching, to consider what good we might get from them. First then, the Son of David, and we might think of the Saviour asking the Pharisees, as we have it at in chapter 22 at verse 41, when Jesus asked the Pharisees, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." Who is the Messiah? Jesus is asking. The son of David. And no doubt they were thinking back. That was in the teaching that was in the background as far as they were concerned. What was said to David, you have it in 2 Samuel 7, "I will set up thy seed after thee, and he will establish his kingdom. I will be his father, and he shall be my son." Yes, there was a king to come, and he has come. He has come of the line of David. Oh, what a blessing. David was a type of Christ. David was a pattern of Christ. And therefore, Christ came as a New Testament David, the one who is the King, appointed and anointed by God himself. Not by Samuel now, but appointed with the Holy Spirit poured out upon him without measure. And he has come, and he is on the throne of glory. And oh, that we would put ourselves under his authority. That's what the rich young ruler whom we're considering this morning, that's what he refused to do. One thing thou lackest, and that was one aspect of it. Yes, well, David, he was the king. Christ is the king. And he comes also as the son of David. He comes of that line. When generations and generations have gone by, there is one who was born into the world, and he was to be called Jesus. That was to be his name, because, and that's what the word is pointing to. That's its meaning, that he was Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The son of David, then, he has come. He came of the line of David, and there was a time, as that so often happened, when Jesus healed one with one who was possessed with a devil, who was blind and dumb, and all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" What did they mean? Is this not the Messiah? Yes. And they were right. He was the Messiah. He was the anointed one who was to come into this world to save the world. And as a picture of that, as a type of that, he was going about doing good. He was healing those that were possessed by devils, whether they were blind or deaf or dumb or disabled in any way. He healed them all. And that's a wonderful thing to say. It's a wonderful thing that the Bible is saying. He healed them all. And that should point us to this, that when a sinner comes to Christ, and no matter how many sinners would come to Christ, and supposing every unconverted sinner in this building this evening would come to Christ all at once, he could heal them all. If you go to a doctor in this world, in this country, you're likely to, depending on the seriousness of the situation, you are likely to find that you cannot be treated at once. Well, you will be if it's desperate enough. Ah, but our condition is desperate as sinners. The Savior will never put a sinner off. If that sinner comes, that sinner will be treated. That sinner will be put right. This Son of David, this Messiah, this one came into the world to save sinners. And oh, let us come. Is there anything stopping you? Ah, you might say my unbelief. Well, that's true. But he has power over all diseases. He has power over unbelief. With one word, as it were, one word of the gospel applied to a sinner, the name Jesus, for instance, and the explanatory note, as it were, that follows, for he shall save his people from their sins. Yes, this is an all-powerful Savior. How much success David had in delivering his land from the Philistines and protecting them from all sorts of other tribes. Yes, nothing was too much for him. Nothing was too much for him. And so it is with sinners coming to Christ. None of them are turned away. It wasn't a case of come back tomorrow or I can give you an appointment in a fortnight's time. Familiar enough expressions perhaps, but that's what it isn't in connection with Christ. It's now. And if now is used in the one direction, if it's now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Ah, well, will that leave us without any hope tomorrow? Oh, I'm not saying that. But now is the time to come to Christ. Yes. And if it's now in that direction, it's come unto me, as it were, and I will save you now. I will not turn you away. I will not tell you to come back tomorrow or the next day. We must be careful. It's not that every sinner who comes to Christ feels in an instant, I've been saved, I've been received. It might be. That might be the case. But the Savior may receive them and not make it clear to them that he has done that. The wonders of his grace have been brought about, and yet he may not show them what he has done. How is the person to react who has been seeking to come to Christ and perhaps has come to Christ and yet cannot recognize it? Oh, keep seeking. Go on seeking. That's the answer. But remember this. The Savior does not turn away those who seek. He does not turn them away. He does not even say, in one sense, come back tomorrow. In another sense, he does. Come again tomorrow. You will have needs tomorrow. And I can supply your needs tomorrow. The needs of tomorrow. Yes, come back. But what I'm saying is, and we cannot fathom the wonderful working of God. Yes, we cannot fathom. He's working in wisdom. But whether a sinner who is seeking to come to Christ today can recognize that they have been saved or not, let that sinner go on seeking until they have been made able to say, I have found the Messiah. There may be those who go on seeking all their days and can never with any definiteness say that they have found the Son of David. That may be, but let them go on seeking. Let them seek again and again and again. Christ can be found. Do not despair. Whatever you do, don't despair. But go on. Go on coming to Christ. Yes. And you see them here quoting, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We'll get that in our text, though I'm not focusing on it in the same way. But you see, Psalm 118 was recognized as a messianic psalm, a psalm about the Messiah. And they grasp this phrase, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And may the Lord give us grace to say that in our souls this eve. Blessed is the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He comes as the one whom God had sent into the world to be the Savior of the world. Oh, blessed is he that came. We look back. We aren't to look back. Blessed is he that came. Blessed is he that gave his life a ransom for many. Ah, can you say this? Have you a right to say this? Blessed is he that came and found me. Blessed is he that came in the name of the Lord. And will we say that the people of God have a right to say, blessed is he that came in the name of the Lord and came to me and found me and put me on his shoulder rejoicing and brought me into his fold. Yes. It would be good, wouldn't it, if we had a right to say that. It would be good, wouldn't it, if we were able to say that rightly. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Let us seek to praise if we have found him, if we have any slenderest hope of having found him. Let us say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, let us think of what you have in Zechariah 6. And there's much that is very clearly, or there are several things, several verses, several passages that they very clearly point to the one that came in the name of the Lord. Take this in chapter 6. About the man whose name is the branch. Yes, the branch of the seed of David. And David's family came very, very low. The tree was cut down, as it were. I'm thinking of Isaiah 11, where it speaks about the branch. Shoot was to come out of the root of David, or the root of Jesse. Comes to the same thing. And that was the branch. The branch that Zechariah was prophesying about. And he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. Yes. The kingdom of David was at a very low ebb. It was ruled over by the Romans. Religiously, it was ruled over by scribes and Pharisees. How lacking in sincere godliness they were, particularly the Sadducees. But the Pharisees, there were some prominent Pharisees who were brought into the kingdom of God, like Paul and Nicodemus. Yes. The work of God, you see. The power of the Son of David, bringing sinners. Now, let me notice this at the same time, that the one that was to be a priest upon his throne, he had a sacrifice to offer. And you see in Psalm 118, which obviously was particularly on the minds of these people that brought or accompanied Christ into Jerusalem, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Bind the sacrifice. There's the way of salvation pointed. Christ taking the place of sinners. Christ offering himself a ransom for many. Oh, let us look. Let us receive the truth in these passages. Let us receive the truth in Psalm 118, particularly at the end, about Christ and what he came into the world to do. That's it. He came into the world to save sinners, so that sinners believing on him might obtain mercy, might have mercy, might be brought into the kingdom of God, might have their sins forgiven. And there Christ is on the throne this evening, on the throne, a New Testament David, a New Testament son of David, and he's on the throne in heaven, and we are to think of him as exalted, a prince and a savior, a princely savior to give. Have you noticed that word? To give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Are you seeking to work out the salvation of your own? Are you seeking to save yourself? No, you'll never do that. You're not to continue thinking in that way. You're to look to Christ. He came into the world to save sinners. More than that, he's on the throne of glory. He's exalted a prince and a savior to give repentance and forgiveness of sin. And when the sinner says, I cannot believe. Oh, it's not just that you cannot, it's that you will not. You will not trust in the one who is altogether trustworthy. But there's this also in the matter. He gives, but you cannot work out for yourself. When you cannot believe, do not despair. Remember this. Christ exalted to give, that is, freely, without a price. He doesn't charge the coming sinner a price for salvation. He has paid the price. He has done it all. Yes. And what is more, he is able to give you grace to believe. Let us not despair over our inability. Our inability is real. But let us look away, as that is said before us in the Word of God, to the Son of David, who is not only a king, but a priest. He is a priestly king, he is a kingly priest. Yes. He has provided for the salvation of sinners. And let us quote further, none perish that trust in him. It's all provided for. Now there was many a one that were, will we say, in the right place at the right time. I'm thinking of men that were in the way where Jesus was to pass. I don't think they knew that he was to come that way, but they were there in God's gracious providence. And you might well ask, put me, Lord, in the way where Jesus is to pass. If he is to pass among us this evening in the house of God, put me exactly in the way where he will come. You can ask that. Put me exactly in the way where Christ will come. May he come to me. And many another time, let that be the way that you would think when you read the Bible. Put me exactly in the way where Jesus is to come, that I might get a blessing from the word. Put me in the way. You see, yes, there were those who hustled about to bring people where Jesus was. And that was right. That was kind. And Jesus was there and he healed them all. But you see, we can go out in our thoughts in a somewhat different direction and ask that the Lord Jesus would come just where we are. But there's a responsibility on us too, to put us in the way, to put ourselves in the way where Christ is likely to come. And one thing I'm thinking of just now is what we have in Proverbs about the waiting at the gates and at the posts. Yeah, speaking about Christ and people waiting for him. Oh, how good it would be for us to be waiting where Christ would come. Waiting at the gates, which we might take to be the word of God, where Christ will come out. How many have found that Christ was there when they were waiting at the gates, when they were waiting around the word of God, the word of God that they were reading for themselves, or reading at family worship, or in the public means of grace, waiting at the gates and the doors when Christ comes out, as he does when the word is being proclaimed. You can ask just now, may the Savior come out and meet me. May the Savior come out and meet me where I am. Well, again, you have this, and it's quoted from Zechariah 9:9. It's at verse 5 in our chapter. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting on an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, tell the church of God in Jerusalem, and gathered at Jerusalem, tell them, your king is coming, your king is on his way, and for the brief while, there is some recognition of that. were there a number of souls who came spiritually to Christ on this occasion? Well, maybe, maybe. But you see, Christ was revealing himself. Did he reveal him into the souls of sinners on that occasion? And perhaps his disciples, the 11 and others who were also disciples of Jesus, perhaps they get a fresh view of Christ on that day among all the truth that was quoted. Yes, but you see, the king, the great king, the descendant of David, taking David's throne as it were, and he came. It was foretold how he would come into Jerusalem. Yes, it was foretold. Yes, and he comes into the midst of his people. Let us not miss an opportunity. Let us be spiritually active. Let us seek grace from the Lord to be spiritually active. When he is coming, according to his own promise, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Yes. There am I. Will not see a vision of him. But, oh, if we feel his presence, if the word of God, his own word, which he comes to bless, which he comes to speak through his ambassadors, if that word would be applied to our souls, ask for it, long for it, that you might see Jesus. And as I say, it's a spiritual seeing, a seeing in your soul, not in your imagination, but seeing the one and the truth about him opened up to you, and you are enabled to believe on him. That's what you're to be looking for. Yes, Jesus, the Savior of lost sinners. Yes. And you see the Savior asking, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? That's what he asked the Pharisees. And they said, the son of David. And he said to them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And the incident is recalled at the end of chapter 22. They couldn't answer him. Well, they saw difficulties whichever way they would answer. They didn't ask him, teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts divine. But if you are in that situation, and you cannot see what way to turn, ask, teach me, O Lord, the perfect way of thy precepts divine. Yes. Or take another portion. You see, we have here illustrated to us the connection between the Old Testament and the New. In large measure, the New Testament is the fulfillment of what we find in the Old Testament. And I've been quoting verses from the Old Testament and trying to apply them in the New Testament light. But again, Jeremiah 23, and there's similar teachings in Jeremiah 33. But the righteous branch, and just to look it up, it's at verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. The shoot would grow out of his root, the root of David or the root of Jesse. A new branch would grow up. and a king shall reign and prosper. That's the branch. A king, a priestly king. He would reign and he would prosper. Oh, the glory of it, the wonder of it. A king shall reign and prosper. Did it look as if he was prospering when he went to Calvary, when he was before Herod and before Pilate, who was the supreme governor of Judea? And he is there. Art thou a king then? He asks, does Pilate. Thou sayest that I'm a king. Which was very much a yes. Thou sayest. How wonderful it was. Thou sayest it. He didn't look like a king. But to those who had faith, to those who by faith saw him as the son of David, they knew he was a king. A king that would reign and prosper. Yes. And what do you say about him now? What do you say about him on the throne of glory? And he still says, I am a king. As we survey the world in our generation, does he look like a king? Ah, yes, he does. To those who have grace to receive that truth, to those who are taught of God, to those who are taught by himself, yes, he is the king, and they worship. They seek to bow before him. They seek to acknowledge his authority. Yes, a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days shall Judah be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. Yes, the Israel of God in every generation, not Israel as a nation just now. They have turned their back on the Messiah, but they will be gathered in. He will exercise his kingly authority yet, and his prophetical authority, in teaching them, in bringing the word to them in a vast scale, and causing that word to enter into hearts and minds throughout the world. Yes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness, Jehovah, our righteousness. Have you taken his righteousness? Have you received his righteousness? So that you will be able at last to go before God, that is on the day of judgment. And the Lord will have nothing to say against you. The Lord Jehovah the Son on the throne of judgment, he will see you, and he will see through you. That's happening now. Jesus seeing through us, as he knew the hearts of those he came in contact with. He wasn't deceived by Judas, but there was that divine purpose that Judas would be among the disciples. Mysterious. Yes. But no doubt there was this in it. It was so that people would not be dismayed when they would see a Judas in a pulpit. When they would see a Judas going to the Lord's table, if they had the wisdom and the discernment to recognize that. For that's the point. When a Judas is exposed in the church of God, we are not to be dismayed. We are to pray that that person would be removed. Or we are to pray that that person would be brought savingly into the kingdom. Yes. But you see, this is the thing just now, the Lord our righteousness. And the people of God, as the Lord sees them through and through, as the Lord understands what they are, as the Lord understands the root of the matter in them, and that they have a righteousness that is not their own, they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the merits of the saving work of Christ have been applied, have been imputed to them, made over to them, put to their account. Yes. And he sees Peter. Peter who has been unfaithful. Peter who has denied his master. And he comes before the judgment. Yes. But the focus of the judge on the throne falls on Peter. And where's his unfaithfulness now? Where's his betrayal now? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. It covers all the sin of everyone belonging to the spiritual Israel, and that one of them was Peter. Yes, where's the sin of David? The blood of the Son of David has cleansed from all David's sin. And when he comes before God, he comes before the Son of God in the day of judgment, and the Son of God looks him through and through, and what does he see of David's sin? Nothing. It has been washed away, and he is addressed, David or Peter, or yourself, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then, you see, it will be this. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come, sinner. Come again. You have come to Christ already, have you? Well, come again. Come and receive the forgiveness of sin over again. Not that the first washing away of your guilt was in effect, but there's fresh guilt. Let it be washed away. Let it not be imputed to you. Take another look at Christ by faith. He came into the world to save sinners. And you see, these truths are to be received. May the Lord give us grace to do so. Whether for the first time or after any number of times, let us look to Christ. There's salvation in him. There's salvation when the Lord's people are needing, as it were, to be saved over again. As it were. The saving work and the saving pronouncements of the Lord Jesus Christ, in one sense, never needs to be repeated. It's forever. But there are two things. One is that they may lose their sense of what he has done for them, of the encouragement he has given. They need that to be renewed in the same words or in other words. Go to him for that. And then there's this. There's their own sin, their continuing sin. And let them go. Let them ask that these words would be applied to their souls all over again. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Go to it. Child of God, go to it. You that are not among the children of God as yet, go to it. It's one well of salvation. And you are to be drawing water again and again out of the wells of salvation. Yes. And we might think of this. Isaiah chapter 9. When his name is proclaimed. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's how he is revealed, and in other ways too. But these are all components of his name. When it is said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, he will be the king. Oh, how much we need to submit to the authority of the king. That's what the rich young ruler refused to do. He went off after his idols. And he would have abhorred the thought of having stone idols or golden idols or anything of that nature. And yet he had his idol. His money was his idol and perhaps other things. But you see, here's the king. And what a blessed thing it would be to submit to the king whose name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Father of Eternity. That's Christ, not God the Father just now. But he is a father. He adopts children into his family. You say the God the Father does that, yes. But that Christ is also adopting sinners. And he sends his Holy Spirit to work faith in the heart of sinners, to bring them into God's family, to make them willing to leave the devil's family and to enter into the family of God. And then the passage goes on. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, that's where we are. The one who sits on the throne of David, that's the one that is before us. That's the son of David, the son of David. Yes. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it. With judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. There's the king, and the king is calling. The kingly priest, the kingly prophet, he's calling to sinners. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We'll leave it there just now, and God willing, we will come back. To this. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Make our thoughts profit. The thoughts that we find in thy word, make them profit. Pardon us our sin. Bless us. Draw us by almighty power. Do not leave us to ourselves. Give us grace. Oh, that we would be the children of the Son of David, and that we would see him as the branch, that we would see him as the king, the priest upon his throne. Ah, Lord, may he exercise his power among us as a congregation. May he exercise his power among us as a nation. Turn many to righteousness. Oh, that Christ would rule over all the nations of the world, and we know that he does, but may that be a visible rule. May it be a rule that can be seen, not that we are to expect him to rule in an earthly way, but oh, that he would rule spiritually, that multitudes would come under his authority, that multitudes would submit to him. Bless us, pardon us, make us thankful. Be with us always. For Jesus' sake, amen.